Listen, whether we like it or not, the world we live in is not the same and can never be the same again post-pandemic. Try as much as we can to get back to normal. There can never be that normal we used to know again. Listen, I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm just somebody who tries to understand the times and the seasons looking at scriptures. And I don't believe that the scriptures can ever be broken. If you read Matthew 24, 25, 26, 27, and then Jesus was translated Matthew 28, and then he gave an instruction after he left that we should go into the world and preach this gospel. But from Matthew 24, 25, 26, 27, he began to talk about the times, the latter days, the days we live in right now. And listen, the days we live in right now are those days spoken of by Jesus hundreds, I think thousands of years ago. We are in perilous times. We are in the times of earthquakes, rumors of wars, pestilences. We are in that season that Jesus spoke about. And that's why the world is witnessing the global pandemic. Now, if you will be wise, like someone I know, and that's Debbie, a.k.a. Mommy Noah, she said she doesn't listen to the news anymore. I've forgotten how she put it. She reads the news. What does that mean? She filters what she reads. You know, Jesus said something, take heed what you hear. But then he balanced it somewhere. Take heed how you hear what you hear. So it's not just the news out there. People can say whatever they want to say. Some of the news out there are not accurate. Some of the news are propaganda. Some of the news are things that people want to hear. So people set up channels to start propagating what people want to hear. The Bible warns us, when you read Paul's writing to Timothy, that in these latter days, perilous times will come, and people will have itching ears looking to hear what they want to hear and heaping upon themselves people who will say, teachers, who will say what they want to hear. Listen, people, that's the time and the season we are living in. And that's why we are bringing this gospel to those of you who can't be here physically, wherever you are on the surface of this planet Earth. We are bringing this gospel to you right where you are, because Jesus said, go into the world, preach the gospel. So for every one of us who is here to who can make it into the physical auditorium, thank you very much. But please, if you have not liked this broadcast, you've not shared this broadcast, do so right here. Send it to everyone that couldn't be here. Send it to all those your contacts, and you have lots of them, and they are spread across the world. You can do that, and you are fulfilling Jesus' admonition. Amen. And I bring us the word of the Lord today. And I'm bringing this word as it came to me. So let me tell us something. We are looking at a theme. That's a theme for this month. And a theme for this month, we always have themes for each month. And please let me categorically also state that we don't have themes for the month just because we want to have themes for every month. We pray, we listen out for God's voice, and we receive what God is saying, and we run with what God is saying. Now, I will use the word days, but 2 months, okay? But I'm using days. I'm using months as days. We have 2 days left this year. And already today is the, what's the day now? 7th of November. And that reminds me, today, 7th of November, is Ify Chinemerem's birthday. That is Ify there. And everyone born in the month of November, I will be praying for We will be praying for you shortly because we just do that as part of our custom, okay? Now, what I'm just trying to tell us, we have 2 days left in this chronological year of the Lord 2021 according to the human calendar. There is the human calendar and there is God's calendar. Man, we always have our own agenda, but God also has his own agenda as it is written. So no matter what our own agenda is, if it's not in line, if it doesn't align with the agenda of God, we can do whatever we want to do, achieve whatever we want to do, but listen, there is something called eternity. We are not on this earth to live on this earth forever. It is, and there's an appointment everybody will keep. The Bible says, appointed unto man wants to die. After this, the judgment. We are all going to give account someday of the life, the quality of life, and what we did in this world, on this earth. And I believe with my heart, the pandemic came to reset us and prepare us for the final days. I'm telling you, the latter end of the time of age. And it's to reset us, to let us get our focus and priorities right, so that our focus and our attention goes back to our Creator. And if we don't learn, and we have not learned the things that the pandemic has taught the whole world, and we fail to hold on to these lessons, then we will have ourselves to blame. I believe God pressed that reset button so that we all can go back to the manufacturer's manual, the word of the Lord. And I bring us the word of the Lord today. The theme, the word we received for November, is standing beside the drying brook. But before then, if you were born in the month of November, and if you were born today like our sister Ife, and you are in the auditorium or you are online watching, God bless everyone watching online. Those who cannot make it, we send the word of God to you and healing to you. Listen, please, if you were born in the month of November, please can you stand up while we all celebrate you? And if you're watching online, you're born in the month of November, please also indicate and type it there and we will celebrate you. Please, let's clap our hands for everybody born in November. Don't be shy. There's nothing to be shy about. Absolutely nothing. Even if today is your first day here. Amen. And I've got some good news also. Some of us might not know. I don't have express permission, but I'm going to announce it because I'm making eye contact with Mommy Cici there, and she's giving me go ahead. And I believe the husband of our sister Pamela, she was here last Sunday, heavily pregnant. She gave birth this November on the 1st. And that's the husband and that's the son. Please, let's celebrate them. Congratulations, Pamela. If you are watching online, bouncing baby boy. Amen. So we're going to pray for that baby and pray for all these big babies and all the babies online. Please, have you seen anybody saying they were born? Yes, Kim Fair, 20th November. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, okay. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your children and especially this bouncing new baby boy to remind us of who you are. We are created in your image and your likeness. That is what we are. And every one of us is not an accident. No matter how we were born, what matters is why. And I pray over this ones born in the month of November, including this newborn baby, that, Lord, they will fulfill the why for which they were born. I pray everything they need, the resources, the good, the perfect gift from above, to become, Lord, the blessing you have made them, the blessing you have born them to be, not just experiencing blessings, but to be a blessing. And through them, people around them will be blessed. I pray, let there be a release of every good and perfect gift in the name of Jesus. I say in the name of Jesus, you will be celebrated. You will not just celebrate, but you will be celebrated in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. And Father, thank you. I just saw something online. Linda and Tony, thank you. You said, I just had my twin girls on the 4th of November. Glory be to God. Father, we bless these twins and they will become everything you've created them to be in the name of Jesus. Congratulations, Sister Linda. Congratulations to your family. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Right. By the grace of God, and I surrender my heart, my will, my emotions to the will of God. Father, just breathe afresh upon me. Give me a clean, pure heart to receive the simplicity of your word. The power of the Spirit and the voice of your word will be heard, will be experienced by the people. I pray over every heart that Lord, the word of the Lord will locate everyone where they are. Bring healing, bring restoration, bring deliverance, and let everyone prosper as they hear this voice. Let your word prosper in their lives. Let your word accomplish what you please in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Congratulations to our brother Tola Taiwo. I think his birthday is on the 11th. Is that right, Dr. Kumbi Taiwo? Your husband's birthday is on the 11th. So congratulations. Happy birthday. I think he's online too. Hello, Senator Tola. We call him Senator. Amen. Praise God. Happy birthday in advance. Right. I bring us a word, and I've been trying to get a title so that we can have a reference. And I struggled with two things. The first one is, let the word of the Lord come to you. Let the word of the Lord come to you. The second one might be, wait until you hear the word of the Lord. So the first one, whichever title you want, let the word of the Lord come to you, or wait until you hear the word of the Lord. And the children in the house, I want to celebrate you. Please never mind. We have not started, in quote, a children's section yet, because we want to wait for the fullness of time. God's just leading us to keep having this family time, family fellowship, where we come, we sit together with our families, we hear the word of the Lord together, we grow together. That's one of the things the pandemic helped us reset, because families were getting fragmented. People were coming to service, coming to a building, but not really being part of the church. The littlest, the smallest unit, and what makes the church is families. A family is the smallest unit of the church. If we lose the family, if a family scatters, the church scatters. So the pandemic helped us to reset, to let us know, especially those of us who are men, if you are not a man of God at home, stop being a man of God in church. If you are not a woman of God at home, stop being a woman of God in church or in public. It must start from your home. And I thank God that the families are growing, families are getting stronger, couples now are learning to live together in harmony. And if your home is having any turmoil, the word of the Lord will come to you today. Just let the word of the Lord come to you. 1 Kings and chapter 17, and I read this time, let me try from the Amplified Version. The reason why I'm using the Amplified Version is because it makes the word easy, it breaks it down better, and helps to almost interpret the original manuscript. You know, the original manuscript of the Bible is in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. So this a little bit explains as it is originally written. So I read 1 Kings chapter 17 from the Amplified Version. It says, now Elijah the Tishbite was of the settlers of Gilead. He said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, There shall be neither dew nor rain these years except at my word. That's a bold statement that a human being like you and I will make. Verse 2, and the word, please, that's where we're going. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, go from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherit, which is the east of the Jordan River. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to sustain you there with food. Verse 5, so he went and did, note this, in accordance with the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherit, which is the east of Jordan, thank you, Holy Spirit, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he will drink from the brook. Verse 7 is where we will stop right now. Okay, let me get to verse 9. Verse 7 says, it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then, verse 8, look at this again. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow to provide for you. Let the word of the Lord come to you. That is the title. And there's something I want to do with the children. You will be amazed at what God is doing in the lives of these children. And I want every child in the house today, and by a child maybe from age 11 downwards, or even our senior children who are in secondary school, I want especially the younger children and those watching online, at the end of this word, to please write one or two things that you learned today, either from the video you watched, the Wonders of God video, or from the word you are hearing. So I did ask that they give sheets of paper to all the children. So if we have the sheets of paper and the ushers can help us, I think the sheets are there. And please spot every child. They are here. We have the sheets here already. Thank you. And please, if you're watching online, get your children to get something to write with. And they should just simply tell us what they took from this service. And I'm starting with Jaden. Please, can you give Jaden a piece of paper and just get him to write, okay? And if your child cannot write, ask them and write on their behalf. Very important. So let's do that quickly. Spot all the children. If you don't have something to write, I will be asking you, what did you take out of this meeting? What is that one thing you heard? What did you learn? Okay, very important. So please, let's do that quickly. Let the word of the Lord come to you. Let the word of the Lord come to you. This will be the part one. As God will give us breath and the grace, we will get to part two next week. And we will be looking at something this month, and especially during our Thursday meetings also, to help us unpack something. Listen, we are living in a time where the word of the Lord is perverted. People, and God started dealing with me from last week's service, you know, when our brother ministered powerfully. God started breaking some things down and bringing a little bit of, you know, balance and expounding on the things shared with us. The word of the Lord in the time and season we live in is being perverted. It's not like God is not speaking. Listen, it is what we are hearing that is the problem. God is still speaking. And of course, people also are saying what God is not saying. So we can't rule that out, but God is always speaking. Now, let me jump a little bit ahead. Please, let's minimize the distraction now, those of us in the hall, because I want the word of the Lord to reach everyone. Don't mind the children, leave them. I'm telling you, at times when you think the children are not listening, they are actually listening, because this is deep, calling to the deep. It's their spirit that is receiving what we are saying. You'll be amazed. So leave the children if they look like they are not serious. They are hearing you even more than you. So don't be distracted by them. Listen, the word of the Lord will come to every one of us where we are. Let me jump a little bit. There's something that this morning while I was meditating, okay, that God pointed to me, the Spirit of God pointed to me. And I'll be sharing with us, little by little, how we can hear the word of the Lord and how we can recognize this is not God speaking. Listen, you know, at the end of last week's meeting, I was led that we should pray for people and pray a simple prayer. Let God speak to you and I in a way which we can understand. Let God speak to every one of us the way we can understand. Because I'm telling you, by the grace of God, I've been pastoring for a while, and I've interacted with different people, and I see a lot of confusion, especially among Christians, sadly, about God said, God didn't say, God said this to me, I heard this, this is what God said. And in all sincerity, you can tell with every due respect, God, you don't say nothing. This is not God. This can only be either your own secret desires and your mind is hearing what you want to hear, or the devil perverting the voice of the Lord to you. It is not strange. God will always desire to speak to every one of us where we are. Let me tell you, it's not about the physical location. Let me lay that foundation. It is not about the physical location that hinders God to speak to you. It is about the location of your heart, the spiritual location, where your heart is located. That's where God wants to speak to you. Whether you're in prison, whether you're in jail, whether you're in Liverpool, whether you're in Afghanistan, whether you are in a dungeon, the word of the Lord can come to you. It's not the location. I was sharing with my wife today some of the things we have seen, how people go into error. They will tell you, look, it's because of the location where you are physically. That's why you are not married now. It's because of the location where you are now that you don't have a good job. It's because of the location. People are talking about physical. They sound good. They sound good. Listen, sound good does not make it God. Where you are, the location of your heart, your heart's disposition, ready to listen for his voice, will make the word of God locate you where your heart is. Wherever you are. So people erroneously think they have to leave a place for God to speak to them. No. Where you are, as long as your heart is sincere, your heart is open, your heart is ready to hear the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord will come to you. It will come to you. If you check the Bible tells us all these things were written for our examples. Examples means there is a sample so that you can see that this is the prototype of what will happen. Let me show us from the scriptures. Let's leave Adam and Eve. Okay? The first man and woman, they were in the garden where God put them. Okay? They were in that garden. And if you read, the Bible says the voice of the Lord will come to them and speak to them. When they missed it, the voice of the Lord spoke to them. But let's leave them for now. There is a man in the Bible called Abraham. And it was Abraham that God wanted to use to teach mankind faith. What do I mean by faith? We talked a lot about faith last month. To teach mankind how to hear the voice of the Lord and simply do what God is saying. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. God wants you and I to live by faith. So if God desires and demands that I and you and I live by faith, then God, it is up to God to make sure his word comes to us. And God will locate you wherever you are physically on this earth. Of course, there's the place where you are in the wrong place at the wrong time and all that. Even if you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, the word of the Lord will come to you to tell you you're in the wrong place. So it's not the physical location, please. It is very important we balance this. So let's jump to this man that God began to teach the entire human race about faith. And I go to Genesis chapter 12. The first time God will speak to this man, you need to understand, because you see, let me tell you something. You can read what God said to Abraham here, take it literally, and say, God has spoken to me that I should get out of my country, that I should get out from my relatives, that I should get out from my father's house. You can literally open the Bible and that jumps at you. That's the confirmation I've been waiting for. Listen, the state of your heart when you were reading that was that you are not happy in the country where you are. You only needed something to tell you what you wanted to hear. That's the error we get into. The state of our hearts. God looks at the heart. God does not look at the act. God does not look at our physical location. He will locate you, your heart, where your heart is. It's the heart that God looks at. The Bible tells us that the eyes of the Lord, listen, it runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect. That word perfect is sincere towards him. So wherever you are, the eyes of the Lord is going back and forth. God is not looking for whether you're in Afghanistan or looking for whether you're in Iraq. He's looking at where your heart is. And he will come to you where your heart is located. That is how God speaks. And that is the error, the thin line, the error that we slip into, especially as believers. This man, when God was speaking to him, this man called Abraham, he didn't know God. He had absolutely no idea who God was. You need to understand the historical context and where Abraham was when God, the word of the Lord came to him. He was in a place called Haran. Now, the Bible says, I read from the Amplified Version, in Haran, the Lord had said to Abram, go away from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you abundantly and make your name great, exalted, distinguished. I wish he stopped there. He didn't stop there. Look at the and. And what? You shall be a blessing, a source of great good to others. And I will bless, do good for, benefit those who bless you. And I will curse, that is subject to my wrath and judgment, the one who curses, despises, dishonors, has contempt for you. And look at the other hand. In you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Listen, where was Abraham when God spoke to him? When I say where, let's start looking at his heart. Where was his heart? Physically located, it was in Haran, but where was his heart? He was lost. He didn't know God. And I'm telling you, I'm bringing you the word of the Lord. You don't know God, the word of the Lord will come to you so that you can know God for who and what he is. God will come to you even as a non-believer in God. None of us knew God before we encountered God. God spoke to us when we didn't know him. So how much more now when we know him? And he wants us to live by faith, to live by constantly hearing his word. Hearing God, listen, is one of the simplest things that can happen to a human being. Simplest. I am telling you, hearing God 101, hearing God made easy. This message that I'm sharing with us, the devil does not want people to hear it. But I will preach it as long as I have breath in me. Hearing God, because God is a just God. God will not demand from you what he has not told you. God will not ask you to live by faith if he has not sent you his word. God is not a mystery. God is not some mystic. God is not some, you know, we've made hearing God so mysterious, so spooky. God spoke to me. Listen, who made you? Who's your source? God is your source. And God wants you to be connected to him. So God will do everything to make sure you hear his word. So let's take it slowly. Where was his heart? He was lost. So the word of the Lord came and found him. Now, where was he physically? He was in a place called Haran. Now, why did God come to speak to him in Haran? That is the first question. You see, it's the why the word of the Lord will come to us that we should focus on. The word of the Lord is not going to come to you to tell you about your own personal, selfish, self-centered ambition on the earth. You can do whatever you want to do on this earth. You can build a tower that will reach heaven, like we saw in Genesis chapter 11. And it's not of God, even though you achieved it. You hit all the targets. Jesus captures it. What will it profit a man? He gains the whole world, which means that man actually did exploits on the world, but he loses his soul. When God sends his word to us, it's not to help us fulfill our own personal agenda or ambition. It is to bring us in line and instruct us in line with his will and purpose for which we were born. Listen, God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be a blessing. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to prosper. But the blessing, the prosperity is not about you. It's through you to establish God's covenant, to establish the plan and purpose of God for the reason why he created this earth. People are so ambitious today, and they think it's vision. Listen, vision and ambition are not the same. Ambition, what I want to achieve. Vision, what God shows me that he wants me to achieve. That's the difference. So why did God tell him to leave his father's house? Why did God tell him to leave his country? Why did God tell him to leave his relatives? You think it was for him to become rich? No, it's for the world to be reconciled, the world that was lost at that point, to be reconciled back to God. It was for God's agenda, not Abraham's agenda. I will show us, by the grace of God, compromise and consequences. In the course of this teaching, God's been showing me a lot of things. I am just weak. And maybe circumstantially, I don't know. Maybe because, you know, like you know, I lost my mother last year. I lost my dad this year. In the space of 1 year, bang, bang, they go. And God begins to show me vanity upon vanity about this life. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we will take nothing. Listen, the problem with discontentment, why human beings are not content, is because something is missing. It's called godliness. The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we will take nothing. Achieve this, achieve that, fulfill all your, you will hit the ambition. You will build the tower. But at the end of the day, what does it profit you? The greatest gain is that a man lives a godly life, a contented life, a life that is doing what God says to do, doing what God has instructed, what God has shown, and you are simply doing what God has shown you to do. and you are contented doing what God has shown you to do, and you don't go the extra. Listen, we are living in a dangerous time. I even hear, with every due respect, people on the pulpit, they will be preaching. At the end of the day, oh, God said this to me. God, this to God. They are simply drawing attention to themselves, not to God. Oh, if not for me, I laid hands on this person, this happened. I spoke and this happened. And so when you hear that, you start looking at the person. Wow, this guy is some mysterious giant. And then the next thing, come and lay hands on me, come and lay hands on me, come and lay hands on me. Excuse me, God is your father. God is my father. God has set some in the church. He called them apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. He didn't put any apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher to self-aggrandize. For you and I to be following prophets. No, we don't live by prophets. We can live by the prophecy, and prophecy is simply what God says, the word of God. That's what we should look at and listen for. So back to this man. So you and I can read this and say, wow, that's it. That's the word I've been looking for. Get out of my country. Get out of my family house. Get out. I don't even like them anyway. You will hear what you want to hear. Not what God is saying. We are living in that time. How do we separate it? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me just simply now flow. I've showed you one man who didn't know God. God spoke to him. I'll show you another man by the name Ahimelech. The story, let me try and get the exact scripture so that you can go home and read it. Okay? Ahimelech, God spoke to this king. He was the king of Gerar. I think it's somewhere in Genesis. I'm trying to see the scripture. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Please help me, help me. Let me tell you the background story for the sake of those of us who are Bible scholars. Abraham, when he heard God, and God told him to leave, and he began to go and do what God told him to do. Let me tell you, when God tells you to leave, it's not about you. He's not asking you to leave for you. A tree, Dr. Uche, does not produce fruit for the tree to eat. It produces the fruit for others to be nourished, to be blessed. But the tree itself just needs to be nurtured. The tree needs to be planted. The tree needs to be rooted, grounded in good soil so that it can continue to produce fruit. It's not about you. But you hear the word leave. Yes, this is about my career. This is the break I've been looking for my life. And you hear leave. You, because you read Genesis 12. Please ask yourself, what is the end of my living? That's a clue. Why am I living? I was talking to somebody recently. And I said, look, to God be the glory. God bless my father. Passed away September the 18th, buried him on the 21st of October, a day before his 81st. What will have been his 81st birthday? And God began to show me and speak to me about the life of my dad. Looking at his journey, God began to speak to me about the journey of the life of my parents, of my mother, who passed away last year, to sift what he's trying to show me. And I said, if there's anything I've learned, and as a pastor, I have seen people sacrifice the purpose of God on the altar of career. I've seen people sacrifice the purpose of God sacrifice their family on the altar of career. See people, they are just pursuing career, career, career. Somebody saying, are you saying career is not good? No. Come on. Career is good. Be good at what you do. Be excellent at what you do. But why are you excellent at what you do? Why are you good at what you do? Is it for God or is it for you? The tower built in Genesis chapter 11 had nothing to do with God. The people were united. Go to, let us make. Let us make. Let us make. They discovered technology, bricks, mortar. We put it together. Let's build a tower that will reach to the heavens. Let us make a name for us. Some of us are busy building towers when we should be building altars. the place of encounter, everything will do to the glory of God. The Bible summarizes it, letter of Paul to the Corinth. He said, let everything you drink, let everything you eat, let everything you do be to the glory of God. That's why you're on this earth. You will die one day. You will face judgment. You will not be asked how many towers you built. Nobody's going to ask you how many degrees, like a thermometer, you acquired. Nobody's going to ask you. Yes, you acquired the degree. What good to mankind did you do with them? Or is it just to make a name for you? There are people who made names. Now their names have been eroded because they only made names. They didn't touch lives. Children fighting over property when parents are gone. Renowned people. It's so sad. It's high time we follow God's reset button and focus on what God is saying to us in this season and in this time. Ahimelech, Abraham, begins to follow the word of the Lord. And then he decides, first thing, he will go to Egypt. We see that in Genesis 13. I will tell us when we begin to unpack compromises and consequences. Compromise and its consequence. It will, the way God is showing me, it will blow your mind. Some very subtle compromises we make. We think we are following God. We think we heard God. Ahimelech. It happens. Out of compromise, he goes to where he is, and he said, Sarah, please, that's his wife. When we get there, tell them you are my sister. You are not my brother, because the way you this woman, at this your age, you are beautiful. They will kill me to get you. Just say you are my sister. So he went and said, sister, and the king of Gerar, that's one of the towns in the Philistines. If you understand the history between Philistines and Israel, they were enemies of Israel. They were literally like enemies of God. So you literally played into the hands of the enemy. Some of us do that when we compromise. You say a little lie. Some of us right now are living the consequences of lies we told 10 years ago. They are catching up with us now. And you know what? The word of the Lord is coming to you to make amends. Listen, it's never late. Whether in the 11th hour, the first hour, as long as you align and realign to the word of God, you will get the same reward. And I'm saying to somebody, you will not lose your reward. Even if you've compromised and the word of God is bringing you out of the compromise so that you can now start living by faith what God told you originally, if you align, you will not lose your reward. Let the word of the Lord come to you. The word of God came to Ahimelech. He was a heathen king. He didn't know God. The word came to him in a dream. He didn't know God. I'm just showing you, if you think because you are now a Christian, born again, you come to church, you do everything, you have exclusivity to the voice of God, you are joking. God wants to save sinners out there, and he wants to use you. So when he's speaking to you, it's not about you, it's about what he wants, the person he wants to save, the person he wants to touch. God tells you to build a business. It's not about you. It's for his glory. It's for the blessing of humanity. God shows you a vision of a, you know, international business conglomerate. It's not about you. If it's about you, it's not God. You're only building a tower, not an altar. And please, don't build a tower and bring God, and try to bring God to come and bless the tower. If God didn't start it, God isn't going to bless it. Forget it. You know, a man of God was joking that time, was saying people are called differently. Many people on the pulpit today are called. There are those that God, actually they heard God call them. They had God call them. So there are those who God didn't call them, they called themselves. It's very easy these days. Just get some scriptures together, go on the internet, put everything together, build a beautiful website, put pictures, cut and paste, put it there. Apostle, Evangelical, Glorious, Global Ministry. People are gullible, they will believe you, because seeing is believing. So there are those who call themselves. But now say there are those. They call God. They build the tower and call God. God, come and dwell inside this tower. As funny, as comical as that sounds, we live in a crazy world. You and I don't have exclusivity to the word of the Lord. Let the word of the Lord come to you, but the word will come to you where you are, not physical location. Please don't make that mistake. It's about the location of your heart. So where is your heart right now? Is your heart sincere? Do you really want to do the will of God? Do you really want to hear the voice of the Lord? If your heart is right, when the word of the Lord comes, you won't give it a private interpretation. The Bible says no scripture is of any private interpretation. Holy men of God, they spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. It's high time we go back to that place where we allow the word of the Lord to come to us rather than us going to the word of the Lord to hear what we want to say. I am a victim, not victim. Don't let me use that word victim because it sounds like I was hoodwinked. No. I got saved in 1986, and I know how I got saved miraculously. And I began to learn to walk with God. I didn't know anything. So for the first 2 years after I got saved in 1986, I was 18 years old. Do the maths. I've just told you my age. And that, you know, I'm telling you, the reason why I don't tell people, I used to be so mysterious somewhere that nobody on this earth must know my age. I just wanted to be a mysterious human being. And I didn't know that by living that mysterious life, I was living a fake, false life. I wanted people to not know me for what I really am, but what I think I want them to, so that they can respect me. So nobody on this earth must know my age, apart from my family. So I don't do birthdays. In fact, 1 year I did a birthday, because God told me to do the birthday as an outreach. But guess what? I did the birthday, and people were asking me, how old are you now? I didn't tell them. But then somebody said, this is how old he is. So I said, yes. I did what God told me to do, but because of my own personal agenda, my own insecurities, I made it look like what I was not. That year I turned 22, but the people believed I was 25. So that it would make me look matured, it would make me get respect, and let people look at me one way. And mind you, I was born again, tongue-talking, fire-spitting, everything. I was already in a place where I knew I was hearing God. But you see, this is what we're talking about. If your heart is not right, you will hear what you want to hear, not what God is saying. You will make it look like God. I got saved. And I began to look at the journey of my life. And I started planning my life. Of course, the Bible says the heart of a man devises his way. Listen! But God is the one who directs the steps. Yeah, make your plans. But are you ready to submit your plans to God so that if your plan is wrong, if your plan is not in line with his will, you are ready for God to make amendments? But some of us are not like that. No! I'm a man of faith. Whatever I say happens. The way I want it, it happens. I was a victim. I told God I was leaving the university. And I prayed. Lord, you know. You know. All I'm living for right now is your will to be done in my life. Your will. Nothing but your will. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, in my country, Nigeria then, you go and serve. You do a national youth service. You serve the country for a year. I said, Lord, anywhere, here am I, send me. The posting came and they sent me. I said, in the name of Jesus, this is not God. This cannot be God. Did I pray? Did God hear me? What did I pray? Send me where? That is your will. And then they sent me. I said, no, God, this can't be. It cannot be. I had no choice. I had to go. But I will spare you the whole details. I manipulated my way out of the place. I said, no, I must be in the center of action, the commercial center of Nigeria, because I have a vision from God to go to the United States of America. This is what I'm going to do there. I'm going to go there and preach the gospel. I had a cousin who was blind. I would go there and heal him. And then I would start a ministry. So help me God. That was my plan. That was my ambition. It was not a vision from God. But erroneously, I went on that pathway and I began to follow that pathway. I got myself posted out of the place, manipulated my way. I said, yes, when I'm in Lagos, I must stay in this place, serve, work in an oil company. I manipulated my way. I said, I'm a man of faith. Whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. We use such scriptures to say what we want to hear, to justify what God is not actually saying. We go to the word of God. We don't let the word of the Lord come to us. Posted myself, did everything, got all my heart's desire. I was there 5 years, but I was drying on the inside. 1 Kings chapter 17. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, the son of Tishbi, and told him what? Go to the brook Cherith. I've commanded the ravens to feed you. And the brook, you drink from the brook. But then, something happened. The brook dried up. Listen, we can miss it to think it was about the brook. You and I can open that scripture and say, yes, God is telling me to leave. God is telling, this is a confirmation of the word. God is saying, leave, leave, leave. Do you know the context in which God spoke to Elijah? Do you know the ultimate aim of God telling him to even go to the brook Cherith? And the brook drying up was not about the brook or going to the brook. That wasn't. It was about the word of the Lord. But thank God for Elijah. We will unpack that as we do our Bible study. I've got to close now. Next week, I'll take us to the part 2. But it wasn't about the brook that dried up. It's about the word of the Lord locating him where God originally told him to. You stay where God tells you to stay and wait for the word of the Lord. It is not difficult, people. It is not. When God speaks to you, God makes the way. But when God speaks to you and you are the one struggling to make the way, I submit to you, that's not God. The Bible says, I am the one who opens the door. No man can shut. I am the one who shuts the door. No man can open. Some of us, God has opened the door, we've walked through it, or some of us, God has opened the door, we're not walking through it. You need a confirmation. Please, there is nothing wrong. God, is this you? Please. How do I know there's nothing wrong? Jesus, every prayer Jesus prayed, the Father answered. Do you know the secret of Jesus? Because Jesus would never ask anything the Father didn't show him. That was Jesus' secret. But then there was a conflict at the Garden of Gethsemane. The first time I would see Jesus conflicting with his Father. The Father's will was what? Go to the cross. You're going to die. They're going to beat you blue-black. Third day you will rise again. The hour came. Jesus said, God, my Father, let me try and play it in a comical way. I know you have told me about this cross. But the more I think about it, the way these people will beat me, kill me. Ha! Daddy, let's talk. If it is possible, let this cup pass for me. Excuse me. Jesus prayed that prayer 3 times. That's the word of God, confirming the word from God himself. So who are you and I to think that we can't? If you are in doubt, please, God, speak to me. Let me know this is you. Confirm your word. Don't go to the word to confirm what you want to hear. We are heaping itchy ears these days, this time. We are warned about these last days we are living in. Excuse me. 3 times. Jesus went to the... and having this discussion with his daddy. The 3rd time. If it's possible, let this cup pass for me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Why did God tell Jesus to die? It wasn't about Jesus. It was about mankind, so that God will reconcile man to himself through Jesus. Please, let's bow our heads and pray this prayer again. Lord, speak to me. In a way, I will understand. Father, is this you? I'm not going to force it. I am open to mistakes. I am open to submit and surrender myself to your will. This is the balance, people. And please don't build your faith based on another man's testimony. Please, God deals with every one of us individually. The just shall live by his own faith. That is the word, like we heard last week. What is the word God has spoken to you? To you. God bless our brother with the word he brought last week. It's got to be what God has said to you. Don't base your faith on another man's testimony. Lord, speak to me. Simple prayer. And speak to me in a way which I will understand. And please wait patiently and let the word of the Lord come to you.